Gene, old school sales guy, city guy, just totally, hey, how you doing? And I'm a mover, I'm a shaker. John sees us walking up, so I can introduce Gene. John sees us coming. John's cordial, extending his hand out to Gene, looking forward to meet my boss. Gene just dives right into this whole sales pitch. And you could just see John's like, hey, anyone that's the friend of my new friend Shane is a friend of mine too. Who the heck do you think you are, Buster? And they kind of got in a verbal disagreement right then and there because he didn't like Gene selling to him after avoiding that earlier. And I didn't get John's sale.
I am excited for today's show. We're bringing back a familiar face and someone I'm proud to call a friend. He started out as my marketing teacher in grad school. Now we're both in this entrepreneurial whirlwind together. He's been doing some speaking up at the Loaf Center, so we're going to make this another incubator bonus episode. He's been up there talking about how to sell when you don't really love to do that, and I thought there could be a lot of value for all of you tuning in today. Shane, thanks for returning to That Entrepreneur Show.
Yeah, glad to be here. You're doing great things.
Oh, I'm excited to have you back. And I had a lot of takeaways of my second time seeing this workshop. And now he's going to break it down, not in its entirety, but to help you feel more comfortable in your path to selling. I learned that everything is selling. When I got out of college, I said, I don't want a sales job. But now I find myself having to sell no matter what. So Shane, thanks for taking the time to come on and talk to us about this. You can lead the way with this. How can we start?
Well, I'll tell you what, one thing I learned is I never wanted to be a salesman. And I'm going to be gender specific because I think we hold salesmen to a more salesy level than when the ladies do it. But yeah, here I was 21 years old looking for my first job, and my dream job didn't come through. And where I landed was in a job of selling. And I'm an introvert. I'm socially awkward. I'm all the all I click all those boxes on a Myers-Briggs, a personality test. I'm not made for sales. And here I am selling. And I feared it. I loathed it. I didn't want to be like my peers nor my superiors, but I had to do it. I was not a quitter. So I found a way that worked for me, and found a way that I didn't realize it that worked for so many other people. And throughout the years, after 15 years of working in business, in small business particularly, became an academic, and I to try to get away from selling, and they asked me to teach sales. So there I was again, in the sales world. But what I realized is a number of things there, that the sales textbooks were very similar to what I was already doing, but they were also teaching it to a corporate level. They were teaching it to someone that was going to be, that was their J-O-B sales, and they worked in a sales department, et cetera. But then in academia, we caught this new wave, and that was a wave of interest in entrepreneurship. And we had entrepreneurship centers all of a sudden, and we worked with students that wanted to be entrepreneurs. We worked with existing entrepreneurs that wanted to become better entrepreneurs. And I realized that we all, many of us in that group of entrepreneurship and wantrepreneurs, we're not the type that were already invested in the idea, I want to sell. Most of us didn't even think about the idea that if I start my own business, I'm going to have to sell. So when I realized that, I said, that's what I need to do. I need to share this message. It worked for me as someone that's not comfortable selling, but it taught me how to sell in my own skin and my own comfort level. I can share this with other entrepreneurs, and that's what I set off to do.
Yeah, I love it. You And I love how you always share how, hey, I wasn't in that typical drive mode, go, go, go. I'm going to sell, sell, sell. Because everyone out there, if you have a passion and you want to start something, Shane is great inspiration for this. If you wouldn't mind, Shane, continuing that where you started having to sell when you traveled up for the fair and you realized that you're pretty good at it after all.
Yeah. Well, first off, let me just say, I've seen so many other experts, sales experts, teach sales, and so many of us entrepreneurs that don't like to sell try to learn from them. And what that's doing is you're trying to learn how to be someone else and not yourself. And so when they try to follow the Grant Cardone type model of selling, they end up looking so uncomfortable because they're not used to being that other person. They're not used to trying to be like Grant Cardone. And that's awkward. Or it's so foreign to them that they don't even try and they just give up. And that's the worst case. So I think anything that you're learning, sales or anything, it's always great to learn from somebody that's just one or two steps ahead of you, that has been in your shoes and gets it. Not someone that claims that they're an expert and can teach everybody. So that's one thing here. And going back to that story you're talking about, my first job was selling insurance. Not that that's a fun thing to do. At least it was commercial insurance, which is B2B, meaning I didn't have to sell to the family household or anything like that. And the cool thing was we sold to high risk things. Carnivals were our biggest type of client. And we were traveling. My first ever sales call, my mentor, Gene, brought me along to one of his calls and brought to a church festival up in Indiana. And I won't go on the long version here, but the gist of it is he disappeared in to meet the carnival owner and told me to go sell to the independent concessionaires because they were small potatoes, small business owners, and it didn't matter if I screwed up or not. So I went forward with it. I had hoped no one was there because it was only 11 a.m. in the morning, and the show didn't open up till that night. So unfortunately, there was somebody there in the very first trailer, and I introduced myself to him. His name was John, but I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know how to sell because no one taught me yet. I've been working for this company, but no one taught me how to sell. And all I knew what to do was introduce myself. Surprisingly, he said hi back and introduced himself. We did some small talk and it wasn't going to sell to him. And surprisingly, he talked back. It was a conversation. I couldn't believe this. I'm an introvert. I'm socially awkward. Going forward, trying to talk to people is not in my human nature. But he was conversing with me, even though I looked out of place on the carnival lot. And after a couple minutes of just conversing casually, I knew I had to do a little bit of something, still not going to sell, but I knew I had to maintain a conversation, but maybe make it down the line of his business and my business. I had introduced myself that I was with an insurance company. And so I knew a couple things about these independent concessionaires, these food concessionaires, and I knew they often had local insurance, you know, Jake from State Farm type of carriers.
Yeah.
And I knew they bought them from their hometown. I knew enough that they often had a couple trailers. I knew that most of them were from Florida, even though they traveled all the way up to Michigan or Maine. So I started asking those types of questions, like, oh, okay, so how many stands do you have? And he told me he had three, a couple of them were somewhere else. How long have you been in business? And he told me, where are you from? Florida. And he was having a fun time talking because why? We all love talking about ourselves. And I as an introvert, I wasn't putting the limelight on me. So I was putting it on him and he was conversing. And then I started realizing that with this insurance company I worked for, I had also worked in the underwriting department and the claims department. And I knew some things about coverage. And I knew that if he got his policy from local Jake from State Farm, they didn't know that he was all the way up in BFE, Indiana, in the cornfields of Indiana. They probably thought he never went any further than 50 miles to 100 miles at most. So when I asked them, I said, do you know what kind of policy you have? Do they have complete coverage no matter where you travel? And he kind of looked at me like, I don't know, Shane. And you could sense in his voice that he was a little nervous that I asked him that. Like, it was one of those things, like, I kind of think I'm not covered, but don't ask, don't tell kind of a situation. So, okay. And I didn't interrupt. I knew our policy covered no matter where they went in the United States, but I didn't say anything because I'm not there to sell, for crying out loud. And then I said, I knew another thing, the Main Street carrier, like Jake from State Farm, doesn't know what to charge this type of business because it's a strange animal. And so more times than not, they charge more money than what we did as an expert in this industry. So I asked him, I couldn't believe I asked him, but I asked him, how much, do you know how much you pay a year in your liability coverage? And he surprisingly told me. And as soon as he said it, for three trailers, I knew he was overpaying. But again, the key is I'm not selling. I'm scared, right? And I just said, oh, okay, thank you. And I continued on with the conversation. But I started to sense something in this conversation. I sensed that by asking him about where he traveled and how much he was paying, he was starting to question his own coverage. He was starting to say to himself, I wonder if I could do better. I wonder if I could get a policy that allowed me to go anywhere and I wouldn't have a concern whether they would cover the loss or not. I wonder if I am paying more, because once a year I call another agent in town and check. Right. But I wonder, and I sensed that. So I finally said, well, knowing what I did about our policies, I was able to go back into there and say, and know for a fact that I could save him money and cover him no matter where he went. So I said, John, if I was able to get you better coverage and save you money, would you be interested? And of course he said yes. And I didn't know that, but he did. And that was it. We without getting any more into the long story, well, I kind of have to get in the story now. I went down this road. I went back to Gene later after John and I's conversation, and I told Gene about it. And Gene looked at me, you know, I was so excited, like a little bouncing puppy. And I said, Gene, guess what? I sold something. And Gene stopped dead in his tracks, looked at me, and he's from Brooklyn. He's like, what are you doing? You can't sell insurance. And you told me to sell insurance. And he says, are you an idiot? You don't even have a license yet. You're not supposed to sell. He was just testing me, busting my balls, if you will.
Yeah.
So we went back over, and I was going to introduce Gene to John. And this is another powerful part of the story. Gene, old school sales guy, city guy, you know, just totally, you know, hey, how you doing? And I'm a mover, I'm a shaker. John sees us walking up, so I can introduce Gene. John sees us coming. John's cordial, extending his hand out to Gene, looking forward to meet my boss. Gene just dives right into this whole sales pitch. And you could just see John's like, hey, anyone that's the friend of my new friend Shane is a friend of mine too. Who the heck do you think you are, Buster? And they kind of got in a verbal disagreement right then and there, because he didn't like Gene selling to him after avoiding that earlier. And I didn't get John's sale, needless to say, after that confrontation. But about 6 months later, I did, because I met John at another festival and got to know him. He got to know that he wouldn't have to deal with Gene anymore. And he got to know me, and we had a relationship, you know, me selling him insurance for years after that. So it taught me a lot. That one time taught me a lot.
And you taught the audience a lot. I'm so glad that you shared that story. And you also inspired that, hey, stick with your authentic style, stick with your true self. Don't try to just become someone else. And you alluded to that throughout the entire story. I think that's really impactful. But Now, and I'm excited to share everyone, next month we'll have Shane back on to talk about some of the great work he's doing with his company that he's been making a lot of great progress on. I've loved witnessing it here. Shane, let's preview that episode for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So number one, I'm putting together, or by the time you hear this, it will be there. This whole process that I've created, it's a nice guy sales process, giving you a step-by-step system of how to go a sales process while still being yourself without being salesy, sleazy, pushy, or any other of the seven dwarves of selling. You don't have to be any of those. It gives you something that you can work with. And it's all under the Nice Guy Entrepreneur, where it's a platform of all of us entrepreneurs looking to start or grow our business in a community of people like us. So we're not doing it at home alone.
I love that, building the community. And I think that it's going to truly take off as soon as this goes live. And I can't wait to see all the success you have from it. You're also inspiring people in a different way where, hey, you don't have to be a 20-year-old entrepreneur, 30-year-old entrepreneur. It's never too late to actually do what you're doing. And now you're leaning into this. Shane does a lot of great work at the ECC, the Entrepreneur Center in Tampa, with the Moran Institute Entrepreneurship in FSU. He's well-rounded all the way. But I now want to pivot to, at the end of the show here, you work with startups of all different sizes consistently, Shane. What's some advice you can give to a newer entrepreneur out there who's trying to go from entrepreneur to entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's really easy for me because it's a lesson that I need to listen to myself. And it alludes from what we just talked about. Don't do it alone. So many people are sitting from their own bedroom, kind of doing that in a spare bedroom right now, so I'm a hypocrite, but doing it from a co-working space with their own private little nook, doing it from a library, wherever. Don't do it alone. Insert yourself into a community, do an accelerator, do an incubator, join a community. There's 1 million cups all across this country in the U.S. Go to those on a regular basis. Those are Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. You're not only going to learn from the other entrepreneurs that are two steps in front of you, but you're going to feel and feed off of that energy that they have as well. And it's so easy without that to slow down and maybe even stop. I'm not saying you need a cheerleader. You just need to be around people to recognize that they too have the same struggles, but also thrills that you have as well.
I just typed that up too for the show notes. That's a free resource, everyone. 1 million cups. I've presented 3 times, I think. I've been a guest 2 separate occasions. I'm almost due for another presentation. I'm trying to get to a new location. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for talking about all about your new business. And of course, some tips for selling when you hate to sell. Like myself, admittedly, I got a lot of value out of this again, Shane. Where can we find you online? Where can we say hello?
Yeah, check out niceguy.biz. And you can email me at shane@niceguy.biz. Also, my Instagram, and we'll be posting weekly on YouTube with some of our podcasts there as well. So all under the Nice Guy Entrepreneur.
I love it. Well, thank you for sharing, everyone. Be sure to go check that out online and be sure to stay tuned for his next episode, where we talk a lot more about that company as it will be released by then. We'll talk about some of the latest features and everything inside that community. I am at Vincent A. Lancey on all social media and YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to me there on YouTube to catch some video clips from today's show, as the show is at That Entrepreneur Show on all social media as well. If you're interested in becoming a guest or working with me as a podcast coaching client, reach out to Danica at podcastsbylancey@gmail.com and she will set you up with a free call with me. But for now, we are signing off, both of us here in the Tampa area, for another incubator bonus episode. Shane, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Perfect as always, man. You're a natural out here for me.
That's fun. I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. We'll get it out this month, like probably end of the month. And then once that's released, I'll ask you some of your availability coming up so we get the next one timed out. It doesn't have to be right away if you're not ready, but I'll just put it on your radar. That way we can get a little more traction for it.
Sweet. Love it.
If there's any preferred picture that I don't have, just email it to me whenever. Any, if your bio is changed or it's not the one from LinkedIn or Nice Guy, send that to me too, and I'll make sure we use that one.
You got it. Nice.
Appreciate you, man. Anything else I could do
All
to
right,
help you
man.
right now?
No, I'm good. I'm good. As always, the door is open for you as well, so let me know.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you next week at the advisory meeting, which will be fun. Or no, it's at the end of the month, I think, this month, but it's
Okay.
scheduled.
Yeah,
It's
I would love.
scheduled somewhere.
As
Yeah.
long as it's on my calendar.
I'm the same way, but thanks again, man.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye.
See ya.